Hello, Stuart and Jody here at Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. Welcome to those who are listening online, whether you're local in Moulton or Northampton, or whether you're listening from further afield. Let's commit this time of worship into God's love and care. Let us pray. Father, we consciously gather ourselves in your presence, and we pray that you would meet us here as we gather as your people in our homes, that your Holy Spirit would connect us with you and with each other, and that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jody's going to come now and bring our scripture reading, which is from Luke chapter 7, verses 16 to 23. Luke 7, 16 to 23.
They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me."
Okay, thank you, Jody. I should have mentioned at the beginning, actually, it's the first Sunday of the month when we usually celebrate communion. So if you'd like to join in that part of the service together, then press pause and go and get some bread and wine or liquid equivalent if you'd like to join in that with us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we reflect upon your word and upon the series that we are exploring on building community, that you would speak to us, that you would pour out your spirit upon us, and that we would hear a living word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are looking at the theme of building community. We are thinking about why people join a community and what ultimately makes them stay. Last week, when we started the series, we considered how a shared experience can draw people in. This week, we are considering what might make them stay. Think about an experience of going along to a group for the first time. Were you made welcome? Did you feel a part of it? The distinctive identity of the group is critical. What do people find when having been drawn towards us? When they dip a toe into the community, will they stay? A community is a group with a common goal or identity. What does this mean for a Christian community? What is our identity? We aim here to be a welcoming community, inviting people into sharing the adventure of following Jesus. In the reading, John the Baptist sends messengers to ask if Jesus is the one, the Messiah. because in his prison cell, he is hearing rumors and hearing news, and he is having doubts. And Jesus isn't behaving in the way that he would expect Israel's Messiah to behave. Why were the Romans still in power? Where was the revolt against them? Where was the wrath and judgment on Israel's enemies? Jesus' reply is a description of the kingdom breaking in. This is what it's like. In verse 22, it says, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor." We are not talking here about our own particular church denomination or community, or inviting people to come to church. What we see here is the description of God's kingdom breaking in. The community gathered around Jesus is a community of those who are living God's kingdom, where there is healing and liberation, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. In Jesus' day, the poor were told they were sinners and they had broken the law. Only a few, like the Pharisees, managed to keep the law or even to know what all the law was. I think there was about 613 different laws that they had to keep. So it was only the scholars and the scribes who knew what they had to keep in the first place. The poor were seen as beyond the pale, outside the law, cursed, damned. But Jesus came to them to tell them and to show them that they were loved by God and part of his kingdom. Jesus' main message and focus was on the kingdom of God. The good news that the kingdom is coming, is among you, is here, that God is breaking into history, and there are signs all around for those with eyes to see. What is our distinctive identity? What are the characteristics of the kingdom? What did Jesus say when he launched his mission at the beginning? Jesus' manifesto in Nazareth, where he quotes from the prophet Isaiah. This is what he says in Luke 4:16 and following. "He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" Jesus here is quoting from Isaiah 61 and speaks about good news for the poor, freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, liberation for the oppressed, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, a jubilee year, a year of forgiveness of debts, of liberation of slaves, of return of lands, of a new start. It's interesting that Jesus misses out the last bit in Isaiah 61 verse 2 about the day of vengeance of our God. He plays fast and loose with scripture, emphasizing mercy, not judgment. Jesus announced the kingdom. He embodied it with his table sharing with sinners, with his healings. He taught it through his parables. The parables speak radically of peace, inclusion, sharing, healing, care, justice, compassion, and forgiveness. All of these are characteristics of the kingdom of God. As a Christian community, this is our distinctive identity. What would be reported about us? When John sent his disciples to Jesus, they were able to return to John with a positive report about the coming of the kingdom. When people are drawn to us, what will be their impression, their report about us? Do we have a kingdom identity that is distinctive, attractive, and makes those who are drawn to us want to stay? Are we a community that has a kingdom identity, a community that people are drawn to and want to be part of? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus came announcing that your kingdom was coming, indeed, was here. Lord, we wait for the full consummation of that kingdom, but even now your rule and reign is present. Help us to be part of that. Help us to gather around Jesus in whom your kingdom is made present. And help us to point people to him and the signs of his kingdom, even in our midst, here and now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to continue with our Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. So get your bread and your wine ready, or go and get them and press pause. And let's gather in God's presence. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and the aching who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wandering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Gather us in, the proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrers, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, be given a seat, be joined to the vine, to be offered new wine, become like the least, be found at the feast, gather us in. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come if you have much faith and if you have little, if you have been here often and if you have not been for a long time, if you have tried to follow and if you have failed. Come, not because it is I who invite you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Loving God, when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we had lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms were opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Lord God, as we come to the richness of the table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. Lord, put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty. The ground and the rootless, the earth and its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal our church in every brokenness. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." So share your bread with each other, remembering him. Jodie, the body of Christ broken for you. And later he took the cup of wine and said, "This cup is a new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me." Now take the wine and share it with each other, remembering Jesus and all he did for us. Jodie, blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our life into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen. And as we are gathered around the table, it's good to remember others. So let us continue in prayer. Father, we pray for those perhaps listening online who do not feel ready to come back to the church community here in Moulton or wherever they are worshipping, for health reasons, for anxiety, or for fear. Give them wisdom and discernment and surround them and be near them at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember before you those we know who are recovering from treatment or passing through difficulties of ill health, whether that's physical or mental at the moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, this week the Girls' Brigade started back and the Boys' Brigade has been back for a few weeks. So we pray for the brigades, we pray for the leaders and the helpers. You'll keep them safe. And we pray for the boys and girls as they return. And we pray for those that have not returned yet, that you would draw them back to be part of the brigade community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the youth group which started back last Sunday, and we pray for the leaders and those that attend there, that they might find fellowship and fun in their journeying together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for Toddle Inn as they look to return in the near future. We pray for all the work that needs to be done with risk assessments and making the place safe. And we pray that you would draw back the parents and the children to that time of fellowship and being together and supporting one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our deacons' meeting, which meets this coming week, as we think of the future and the strategy of the church, that you will be in our midst and lead us and guide us in our deliberations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment's quiet, we bring our own personal concerns to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we continue to pray for the situation related to the COVID pandemic. We thank you in the UK for the rollout of the vaccine and for a reduction in cases and deaths. And we pray that that would continue as the economy and society opens up. And help us to be wise in our social interactions with each other. But Lord, as we give thanks for the progress in the UK, we look more globally and we see the situation in India and we pray for the people of India. We pray for those working as doctors and nurses and health care staff in that situation. We pray for those that have lost lives, that you would comfort those who mourn and you would help with the stemming of the pandemic there. And Father, we pray also globally for a fair distribution of vaccines internationally, and we pray that the pharmaceutical companies would not look to their own personal private property and profit, but would look for the benefit of the healing and wholeness of the whole human family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for this year when we have the COP26 conference in Glasgow. We pray for how governments and societies respond to the emergency situation of the climate emergency that we face. Help us as individuals, as societies, as communities to make those changes that need to be made in the coming years to protect and steward your creation. And help us as individual Christians, as a church community, as a global church, to be a voice for your creation and for the poor. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the people and families who died and are affected by the crush at the religious festival in Israel. And we pray that you would comfort those who mourn, that you would bring your peace into that situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we offer you all these prayers and join them together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us online, and I'll close with a blessing. Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Set out then on a new life with Christ, and the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. So thank you for joining with us, and we'll see you next week. Go well, and God bless.